You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back. Does anybody else want to stay? Let's ride!
Good evening, everybody. It's 6:56, and we've gone early, only 4 minutes this time. I actually should have gone live about 10 minutes ago, but I had too much stuff I was trying to organize over here because we have great guests. We have great packed room full of great friends and colleagues, and at 7:15 we have Alex Plutz is coming on, who said, quote, that he needs to come on and eat his shoe because, as we all know, the last time he was on, he predicted that Hillary Clinton would win with at least 330 electoral votes. And it wasn't any more further from the truth. So he said, I hope you guys have some salt because I have to eat a shoe. So we're going to see what the hell's going on there. Hey, let's go around the room. Right now we've got Jay Ski. What's going on, Jay?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Now, Jay is a Navy man.
Yes.
He is an All-American guy right here, a baseball guy, baseball coach, and current player. Fantastic passion for the fight game. He hosted his own show here on the studio. Fight Game New York, I still wear the stuff.
The old studio.
That's it, the old studio. And during your time doing that show, you put on a couple of very successful local fight events.
Yeah, I put on a couple of events. Yeah, I mean, I a lot of guys for many years. I know many guys still that are still doing it.
Oh, no, that was amazing. I felt like we got a glimpse into 1940s Port Chester, when there used to be boxing at the Don Bosco Center or something. It was amazing lighting. It was in a nice old auditorium. So it made sense. It was amazing.
You know what was really fucking cool? The dude in the main event, Carlos, they just hosted fights there.
They just did again?
Yeah, they started their own promotion. They hosted fights at St. Peter's. So it was kind of cool to see that come full circle. They're still doing it. You know?
That is awesome. And, of course, Matt, he's chilling.
Hello, Francis.
Hey, Matt, I had another mysterious note on my car last night.
What'd it say?
Okay, this one is, once again, written in Latin. It's very odd.
Dude, they're advanced.
They're getting advanced. For some reason,
they're using extinct languages.
This is happening again
to
you, Frank?
Yes, it's happening again.
What does it say? Let me see if I can decipher it.
Okay, this one says, Facilis Desinensis. Desinensis of Vino.
Satan's leaving messages.
Vino.
It's signed SS, which means the what is it? Silent
Soviets? Was it?
No.
Silent Soldiers.
Silent Soldiers.
No, Soldiers. Remember, they spelt it Soldiers at first.
Okay, so it's like it's just a
they
very.
They must go around soiling themselves.
So it's a quasi Gestapo reference, but it's not. At the same time,
I don't know what that one means.
Facilis desinensis Avino is the last word. I don't know.
You should just Google that one. I'm not sure.
Yeah, see?
I'm not sure. The gadget doc probably knows what it is.
Very weird stuff. So hopefully it's something like a blessing or something. They're like, we love you. We like you. You're a cool guy. I hope you stay alive forever.
I hope it should be.
You know, that's the thing. If you ever got a note on your car like that, hey, we like you, we love you, we hope you stay alive forever, I would immediately think that they meant the opposite. They want to kill me, wouldn't you? Isn't that...
I would be creeped out. I'd be like, why would someone wish that to someone? That's just fucking weird.
Exactly, because your first instinct is that they mean the opposite.
Probably,
they
want to
cause you dis-ease.
Yes, that's true.
All of a sudden, you're uneasy.
Don't trust anything.
What's going on, Murr, in the chat room? What's going on, Rumble and Roar? Brian O'Connor, what's going on? We got Ann Caparato in the chat room, Natural Law, Mike Delabate, Brad, whole bunch of people in there. We got a great growing audience. The channel is growing nicely, and thank you guys for being a part of that. Now, we have 15 minutes till Alex comes on, so I wanted to watch this for a second. This is off of CNN. An emotional Hillary Clinton supporter, in a passionate plea, calls on Clinton to sue the United States.
I saw this. I saw this.
Now,
just looking for anything.
You have to. This is this guy probably ran home. He goes. He prattles on like a 13-year-old trapped in a 30-year-old's body.
I need you, Hillary. And, I need you.
And
I'll never forget the times we had, Hillary.
Oh, hold on. Wait.
I'll never forget the times we had.
Wait a second. Before this happens.
You and me talking.
Hold on a second. I have to get that ready. Wait a second. I have to get that ready for right after this because it's perfect. You're right. You're 100% right. Let me see here.
I'll never forget the times we had. Yes, sir. And you can count on this great state of Georgia, sir.
What the hell is it?
That's how much you mean to me.
That's how much you mean to me. The times we had together.
Yeah, that dude is great, man.
Dude,
you gotta tell him. Be like, yo, you need to just give one of my friend an audition in one of your movies, and just send me. I'll pay for my own ticket to wherever I gotta go.
You
know, it'll be a tremendous audition. It'll be tremendous. It'll be a great movie, I'll tell you.
No idea.
Okay, I have it ready. This is gonna be so fun. All right, so let's cut out the Gnarls Barkley cover for a second. And let's get to CNN. And I'm just going to stop along the way because there's so many things that go wrong so fast. And he's obviously trying to make some kind of a point, but he's searching violently for one. He just didn't come up with one.
They're blocking the streets. They're burning flags. They're standing on buses. They're writing swear words all over buses. It's not helping. This is not helping. I wanted Hillary to win more than anybody. Anybody. And to stand out here and to not have a call to action and not be specific, that's why we're here where we are now, because we haven't been talking about policy, because we haven't been being specific, because we've been talking about things that don't matter, things that about personality, not policy. And there needs to be a call to action, and I need Hillary to stand up right now and walk in and sue the United States of America say
Watch. Well, he knew right off the bat that he had gone into territory that this was a bad idea, because he tried to delay having to explain himself long enough to figure out what he was going to say, and he couldn't get there, so he had to make that pause to take the breath and swallow, and then he comes out and changes direction and starts talking about black people. Watch. He's like, wait. Oh, yeah. Let me try to get this up without everything feeding back.
Hey.
Oh, wait, hold on. That was the delay.
And walk in
here,
and
Gypsy.
Sue the United States of America and say...
I don't know.
Back when black people couldn't vote, right? How many years ago your vote would have been
They couldn't vote, right? He's talking to a black reporter. Hey, you're black.
Hey,
you remember.
You remember, right?
You remember not being able to vote. What are you, 20?
Look at yourself.
I said black. Right?
I mean, really, right? I mean, come on. So let's go back, because just remember, this has nothing to do with what his first point was going toward. Okay, let's go back. All right. There he goes. Okay, this is my shot. He went home and checked his Facebook friend request. Nothing happened.
Right now, and walk in and sue the United States of America and say, back when black people couldn't write this vote, right? How many years ago your vote would have been 1/3? Guess what? Today it still is. Today, right now, it still is.
I'm gonna put the onus on the reporter now. So why is it the reporter's job to defend his point?
He did.
Now it's us, because I can't defend myself.
Gypsy, wiggle that mic. See if it works. I put it on.
Hello?
Yeah. All right.
So my point is, because he realized his ship was sinking extremely quickly, he tried to bring the black reporter in there, poor guy, and brought in black people and said, right? So he had to defend
his point
that he made. Meanwhile, he's supposed to be the unbiased reporter, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's unreal.
Use them as a pawn.
Thanks, liberals.
It's just like, this is what's happening right now. But this is not, but dude, you need to, we need to start telling the white liberals what the fuck they've done to the rest of everybody.
That's what I'm talking about.
The Jessies from Saved by the Bell, okay? The Jessies of the world. We got to tell them what the fuck they've done.
The Jessies.
All right? Look at this. So he starts talking about this. Let's get to the middle of it. It doesn't make sense, so it doesn't matter where we start.
So you don't feel like this was a fair election, because it looks like Donald Trump won fair and square.
How did he win fair and square? Hillary had more votes. More human beings voted for Hillary. This isn't fair.
Stupid.
We didn't get one vote. You didn't get a vote. It's just like back in the day when your vote was 1/3.
So the Electoral College.
He's bringing up, I guess, is a bad reference to the 3/5 compromise.
Clause, yeah.
So the guy goes up there. He gets the fraction wrong, first of all. It goes 1/3. It's the 1/3 compromise.
You're actually, wait, was it
3/5?
So what is that percent wise? It's less. It's 1/3 is
no, it's more.
33. Yeah.
As a nice liberal, he's giving us more credit.
He's giving us good more. Thank
giving
you.
Us more credit. We're worth more under him.
Thanks,
liberals.
Doesn't even bring, because first of all, the 3/5 compromise was not about how the slaves' votes would be counted. Because the slaves were not voting. It's what the slave holders had as far as voting power to pledge, because each person, they wanted each slave to be counted as a person, even though they were technically property, because the southern slave states, they wanted more leverage and representation in Congress. The North, the staunch abolitionists, were the ones who proposed the 3/5 clause so that it would take away the power of the slave traders by making sure that every one of the people that they claim to be property, and one of the quips, I forgot who said it, I think he was from New York, one of the quips that they made about why it's absurd to allow someone who holds a person in bondage to call that person's vote a whole vote to only serve the needs of someone who isn't the person who voted, is that, well, if they can do that and claim that their property is also a vote that needs to be counted in Congress, then I'm going to start saying that I deserve a vote for every piece of furniture in my house. So people who, first of all, he screwed up what the hell even the context was, and he's just trying to pull numbers and bad history
just
out of his ass.
No concept of the electoral process either.
Nothing.
Now if they went vote for vote like that, places like New York City and L.A. would decide the political
everything.
Vote for everybody in the nation.
Everything.
I mean, just a complete moron.
So let's get to the last 30 seconds of this, because it gets most frantic. And then I want to read off of what I put out today about the Electoral College, because things he said right there about she got more human beings voting for her, it's got to be explained. We did it a couple of days ago on election night, actually, at 7 o'clock. But I put them together a little bit more concisely today, so I want to read that after this, but check this out.
You're somebody who wants to blow that up. You want to get rid of Electoral College.
Just count the votes. It's ridiculous. Hillary, you're a lawyer. Walk in, go to
She's
the
a disbarred
court.
Lawyer, okay?
She's a lawyer. Just okay. Say black people, and you win. That's it.
Hold on. Wait, this is the best part. He wants her to just walk in there to the Supreme Court, which I guess is the Wizard of Oz. Or it's like Zordon. You go to the Power Rangers power station, and there's Zordon in a tube. You just walk up to it and say, Supreme Court? And he goes, yes, Hillary?
Just count the votes.
Ready.
It's ridiculous. Hillary, you're a lawyer. Walk in,
go to the Supreme Court. I believe in you, Hillary. I've been to Rwanda. I've been to your hospital in Rwanda. I've seen all the good you've done. Well, I believe in you. Women need you. Wow. Minorities need you. I need you. Chicago needs you. We all need you. This country needs you to stand up and walk into the Supreme Court and say one vote equals one vote.
And then the Supreme Court goes, you're right. One vote. It's like, what do these people think
all these years?
You know, it's like, what do these people think?
I'll tell you something else. There are
people, hello?
Yeah.
People really, really have their hopes up about that faithless voting thing.
Yeah.
They have like, oh, there was a chance. Yeah. There is a chance.
Listen, the Bernie voters still think there's a chance for Bernie. So it's like, you're not going to, it's ridiculous. But hold on. Let me get to
this. This guy's out of his mind.
They're already trying to impeach him, right?
Yes. Yeah, no. When in fact, all these Hillary was pretty much a pre-impeached president. She came pre-impeached.
She did.
That's the
you
biggest
were
reason.
You voting for Kane right out of the gates.
Seriously. Oh my gosh. But you know that's one thing. But here's what that really equates to. Ready? This.
How much does this would mean to me? When I was a little boy. Put a magic hat on a snowman and he came to life. I blacked out. I got all dizzy and fell over on the ground. And when I came to, I looked up and the sky was filled with different colors. We were flying through the air together, kicking our little legs. We were free. We were free. I have that same feeling right now, sir.
Just say yes.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, don't worry. We will get you the great state of Georgia. I can promise you that, sir. Even though this is a state filled with rebukes, I will take my wife to every single town. She and I will suck as many dicks as it takes to get these votes, sir. That's not what you mean to me. The experiences we had together, I will never forget. Just being friends, you know, not in a gay way, just like a politician to another politician, you know, just sharing a warm bath together. I will go door to door and ask each and every person to have a heart and vote for FDR. I will do that, sir. I will do that.
Love the guy. Crazier than shit, but I love him.
Thank you, sir.
Love it. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. It's
that's how much you need to be.
Let's go back to this again. Ready? The last 10 seconds.
Supreme Court. I believe in you, Hillary. I've been to Rwanda. I've been to your hospital in Rwanda. I've seen all the good you've done. Well, I believe in you. Women need you. Minorities need you. I need you. Chicago needs you. We all need you. This country needs you to stand up and walk into the Supreme Court and say one vote equals one vote. What's wrong
that's
with
it.
That?
That's it. What is wrong with that?
That's
why
it.
Why can't we just
that
do
sounds
it?
Like, that sounds like a kid saying, why can't you go, Hillary? Go in the Supreme Court. One vote is one vote.
Exactly.
Good job, Bobby.
Good job. Good job. Exactly. You're right.
Good job, Bobby. You're using your brain, buddy. Sit down now.
We'll get you an ice cream in a little bit. But hold
on. I'm telling you, that's why we got to go to these anti-Trump fucking rallies in the city to interview some of them because of what they'll say.
To be honest,
you know how many videos you'd be able to come up with?
Oh, shit. We got to call Alex Blitzes. I got a, what the fuck here? What is that? Source 3, camera 2, let's try it. Oh, God.
That's how much she means to me.
we will go suck every
there you go.
Day.
State of repute. I'll get this later, I guess. We'll
greasy
just...
ones, Mikey.
All right, I'm going to call Alex Plitzes here.
Me and my wife.
Where are you, Alex? We must negotiate our trade deal. Trade deal. It's mutually beneficial.
Is Mike May in the chat room?
I don't know.
No, not work.
No, not work.
Hello?
Alex, you have some splaining to do.
Oh, Frankie.
So joining us right now, our good friend and colleague and correspondent and expert on many things, Alex Plitzis, is coming here to talk about what happened on Tuesday, especially since you predicted 330 electoral votes for Clinton. Did you not?
I certainly did.
So
330,
what?
Without doubt, based on all of the polling data that was available at the time. And based on a couple of significant statistics that came in, I got my kid yelling in the background here, I apologize.
No problem.
Which included supposedly that 30% of Republican voters that voted early in Florida, which the early vote supposedly was going to make up 60% of the vote, had voted for Hillary and not Trump. There were two working theories that were going on, that there was, quote, this hidden army of Trump supporters, you know, the silent majority, and then there was this hidden, embarrassed Republican establishment that wouldn't vote for Trump that was actually going to secretly vote for Hillary. And the polling data up until that point showed Hillary in the lead in most of the swing states where, you know, those electoral votes were needed.
Mm-hmm.
So based on that data, it looked more plausible that there was this embarrassed establishment that wasn't going to vote, which wasn't the case either. I mean, what it really turned out to be when you look at the numbers, Democrats didn't come out and vote. Hillary lost Michigan because Detroit did not come out and vote. The African-American community in Detroit delivered for her, I don't know how many tens, if not hundreds of thousands of less votes than President Obama received, and she only lost by 11,000 votes in Michigan.
Mm.
So it was just a genuine lack of enthusiasm for Hillary's candidacy.
Oh.
As I had been saying over the last 3 years, I mean, she really is the most flawed. She's the most flawed political class candidate in American history. You know, I didn't think that was going to be significant enough to overcome Donald Trump. But if you look at the strategy for how he got to 270, taking Ohio, taking Pennsylvania, taking the Rust Belt, there are a number of American manufacturing workers who have really been forgotten, whose jobs were shipped overseas, who were union employees, who were sort of taken for granted by the Democrat Party as people were guaranteed to vote for them. And Trump spoke to them, you know, the crappy trade deals that Hillary had supported and then didn't support afterwards, the speeches to Wall Street where she talked about free trade, you know, even though she's had a different public position, it really hit home. And those people said enough is enough. I mean, there was and finally, I think the other point is that over the last couple electoral cycles, both parties have been racing to try to expand the voter base into, you know, different communities, particularly, you know, minority communities that are growing, that are going to be the majority at some point, Latinos and others. And they really forgot about what the current majority was looking for. And there were people who kind of felt like they, you know, they were forgotten about. And those are people in Ohio, in Pennsylvania, and in Michigan. And they turned around and let the Democrats have it. And, I mean, that in the end is really what cost her the election.
So after everything, then it really was the black vote that decided the election, whether they cast their vote or didn't cast their vote. But Michigan was in the tipping point. That was a tipping point right there. That's where he officially got 270.
That was a tipping point. And I think you're right. But in terms of costing her the vote in that sense, it wasn't that they were voting for Trump. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But large portions of the Democrats' traditional constituency didn't come out in significant numbers. A lot of angry, forgotten about Rust Belt workers who really felt they'd been taken advantage of, who Trump really touched their soul with the stuff he was saying about trade deals and make America great again and all these jobs and stuff getting shipped overseas to China.
You know, let me stop you right there. When I had contacted you, because this is all going toward where the next question is, and I had I had told you, you know, because it was late at night at that point, I said, okay, so just nutshell this for me. What do you think? Is this positive? Is there? Do we have a chance? Is this? What did you think? And you said this is promising. Where do you think this could go? What do you think can and plausibly will be done that you approve of as far as a direction?
I think some of the trade deals that have been in place have been absolutely terrible because we've seen their impact on the American economy. So I think that'll sort of get dealt with. There's no way any Republican is going to pass any sort of immigration law if it's not comprehensive immigration, because of the impact. I mean, it should be for purely, pious reasons that they're supporting comprehensive immigration reform. But at the end of the day, I mean, the Hispanic community will be a majority in this country shortly. And if you read the postmortem from 2012, why Romney lost, he lost the Hispanic vote by a lot. And, you know, while Trump did win this time, don't forget, like I just said, he ran against the most flawed political candidate in American history, at least from the political class. That won't happen again in the future. So I think you'll see some sort of comprehensive immigration reform come forward. I think you'll see major tax reform. The tax code is absolutely absurd. And whether a Democrat or a Republican got in, you know, there's major problems with Obamacare, the way it's structured. It was kind of a half-assed solution to trying to get everybody health care. Quasi-government, quasi-private sector really was rushed through. It wasn't well thought out. And premiums are up 30 or 40%.
So what do you think about that?
So a full repeal and replace is not possible, but I think it's definitely – there'll be changes made to the law that are going to improve it.
Okay. So then let's shit, what the hell is it? I had a question, and then it, like, left me.
Because I babbled for too long.
No. Okay, well, let's backtrack just a second. You touched on Obamacare. You touched on – oh, tax. Okay. The 15% corporate tax. That's something that would have to be – where does all of that set? That's something that has to be voted on in the House as well?
So, yeah. I mean, the tax code is a law which needs to be written by Congress.
Right.
So – basically, it has to pass both chambers and go to the president for signature.
And is there going to be enough to do that without resistance?
There'll be resistance. I mean, the Republicans control the House of Representatives. They don't have a veto-proof majority in the Senate, but there's enough vulnerable Democrats who are up for re-election that I think they'll pass some sort of tax code reform. You know, like the idea of a flat tax being noble in terms of just kind of get rid of all these deductions and all the rest of this, you know, 90,000 pages of tax crap and just get down to simple percentage categories for people has been floated for a long time. It's a lot easier said than done.
Isn't that what Russia does? Doesn't Russia have like a 13% flat?
I'm not entirely sure what their tax code looks like, to be honest with you. There's a couple of countries, smaller ones, that have made a flat tax work, and there's definitely a desire to lower tax rates across the board. And this is really a difference in economic policy between the Democrats and the Republicans. Republicans will tell you that if you lower the tax rates, that money will stay in the country because, you know, people will not take the jobs out of country. They're not going to do it. They're not going to export, you know, the jobs overseas. And lower tax rates means more money for people. And if people are spending money, that will stimulate the economy. And people generally will only spend money on what matters. Whereas the government, when it spends money, creates these artificial bubbles because, you know, they pump $100 billion into the economy and the government decides to, you know, where to spend it. It's not a reflection of reality. Like, if you've got a really crappy television set, right, No one's going to buy it. They're going to buy the good brand. It's elasticity. So you want a good that's inelastic. It's top. Everybody wants to pay for it. Everybody wants to buy it. And the American people generally decide that. Everybody wants an iPhone. You know, so now they build a billion iPhones. The government spends $1 billion on infrastructure. A lot of it's wasted, squandered. So it's always a question of the return on investment. Where is that money better suited? Do you raise taxes and let the government spend it in the hope that that stimulates the economy because the government's better at spending that money and getting it back into the economy in the right places? Or is it better to allow individuals to do so? And that's one of the fundamental differences in economic policy.
Mm. I like individual. I like it. That
so do I. I mean, I worked in government. I know what bureaucratic incompetence looks like and waste and fraud and abuse.
Well, Alex, I hope that you are able to. Well, what do you think? Would you ever make a patent? Do you have the contacts to be able to put your name in the running for something?
I was in touch this morning with the transition team, so it's plausible. But for me to go back to Washington, it would have to be a pretty significant position in order for me to justify that commute, because my family will remain here in the area, and I will commute back and forth.
So, but this would.
So if I end up something significant, National Security Council or a senior position at the state or defense departments, then yeah, it's entirely possible.
But you, this is an administration you would be entirely interested in serving.
It's not a question of there isn't an administration yet. There's a president elect, and I think President Obama really touched on it today. Well, this was not the candidate that I supported. It was my choice. If everybody with any talent or any desire to serve abandons this guy, you know, and leaves him out there with the B and the C team, where does that leave us as a country? Because don't forget, like, we still live here. This is our country. He will be our commander-in-chief. He will be our president and chief executive of this country. It's like basically rooting for the pilot of your aircraft to fail. we're all on back. We're all crashing together. Like, you either root him on and help him, or we're all going down in flames.
That's a great point, man. Yeah. Great, great point. You guys have any questions? No?
I just want to say, reminded me of the way the media and a lot of pollsters got it wrong. It reminded me of that Mark Twain quote of, it's not what you don't know that will hurt you. It's what you know for sure that isn't true that will get you.
Yep.
Mm.
And that's
100% correct. And that's what bit just, every last one of us in the ass.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Everyone but me.
We sat here. Oh, Gypsy knew. He called that a long time ago.
You guys are
100% right.
Yeah,
I watched one poll throughout this whole thing. I told you, Frank, that Investor's Business Daily tip poll. That was like the only poll that they said. They called it 3 years in a row, Obama down to the decimal. It was like the only one that seemed close.
Interesting.
Yeah, Investor's Business Daily tip poll. That was a very, very accurate poll. Yeah, the whole process.
I got it flat wrong. I followed all of the major national polls as a political scientist by at least undergraduate academic.
Well, they said those polls are rigged. They said everybody got the polls wrong. There were so many things that they didn't take into account, like that silent majority that you were talking about of people that, you know, that didn't want to come out because they were afraid to be ridiculed because they were Trump supporters, you know?
So that was kind of the question. It was, were the pollsters wrong, right? Or was it the lack of turnout?
Right.
Because
Hillary
had 7 million less voters in her favor than President Obama did, whereas Trump only had 1 or 2 million less. So if you go back and look at the percentages, nobody's done this math yet. I haven't seen a story on this. But had her supporters shown up in the same numbers that President Obama did, would that reflect the accuracy of the polls? Because the polls are supposed to be of likely voters. And it seems like there were enough people that were discouraged that they stayed home. And that's when questions like, you know, did Director Comey's statement at the very end have an impact on the election actually matter? Or did people finally just have enough of 30 years of blaming a non-existent right-wing conspiracy for her own piss-poor decision-making and say, enough is enough? I also heard several analysts talking about why the African-American community stayed home and didn't come out to support her. That super predator comment that she made did not go away in people's minds.
That was huge, Alex. That was huge.
The criminal laws passed under her husband's administration sent an entire generation of African-American males to jail for a lot of stuff, and the rest of us are considered to be petty crimes. And, you know, it ruined a lot of lives and families. And there's a lot of people that don't forget that kind of crap, as they shouldn't.
I think a lot of people, Alex, didn't want the choice on their hands. Like, a lot of people were like, I don't want to... You know, I myself, I did third party. You know, I didn't want... You know, in the beginning, I thought, hey, Hillary, what's so bad? Yeah. But as more and more stuff really came out, I was like... Yeah. I can't. I'm a hypocrite. I would be a hypocrite to actually vote for her. And then my position was, why vote at all? And then I was like, all right, I'll vote.
Yep.
Well, you know, Alex, let me ask you something. Because I went another way with this. I really think that this was all those polls that were coming out leading up to Election Day. I really thought it was something else. With WikiLeaks, with everything that was coming out, we had the polling methods unveiled, that they were oversampling Democrats. I really think that another thing that might have happened too here is that, A, these were floated out there to try to discourage people, let them know that everything was over. And B, I think that it could have had more of a negative impact on some Hillary voters thinking, well, she's going to kill him anyway, so why even vote?
Yeah, there was a potential for that, which is why she was really getting the get out the vote, because I think they secretly knew it might have been closer. And it wasn't like there was polling data. I think they were scared because all the stuff that was coming out. I mean,
but I just don't get the big
things that really hit home for me. There's 96 million people who are not in the American workforce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at a certain point, they're no longer counted in the unemployment stat because they've been unemployed for so long they don't matter in terms of an unemployment statistic. So when unemployment goes down and jobs are created, mm-hmm. that's great, and every administration likes to tout that, both Democrat and Republican, up and down. But at the end of the day, you can spin that stat anything that you want.
Oh, yeah.
But there's 96 million people not collecting a paycheck. You can't spin your way out of that one. 30 to 40% insurance premium increases. That's hitting people's wallets. You can sit there and try to talk about foreign policy and what may or may not happen, and that's a matter of speculation. It's not speculating when people are paying $1,500, $2,000 a month for small business owners for health insurance. That kind of shit hit their pocket, and that's where the Democrats got screwed. They thought they could spin their way out of the email scandal and the rest of it, and that people were going to buy the crap that they were saying. That all may well have been true until you took $2,000 a month out of the pockets of small business owners. That came back to bite them in the ass.
Yep. Yep. No, Alex, thank you so much, man. I think that's it. Thanks for the segment, man. We can't wait to have you on again. If there's anything else you want to say, go right ahead. But other than that, I'm all tapped out, man.
I want to know when Alex is coming back for a drink.
When are you coming back for a drink?
I owe you guys a drink. I need to come back for a drink. And I think I owe a response to one of your viewers, actually, one of your listeners, who was a little upset when I was talking about the militarization of police forces across the country.
Yes.
Particularly, I think I was addressing Ferguson and some of the other things that were there. I believe some of the comments, I remember reading some of the
Hold
the
on. You want me to read
there.
The – I can and, find the comment.
And I think it was, you know, that MRAPs have ports on the outside of them. That's the armored vehicles. They don't. There's not a tank. That's not the case. Let's put that to rest for a second. And, you know, the protests in Ferguson and the rest of them were peaceful. You can Google for yourself. Don't listen to me because, you know, there's already, I think, a perception of bias that's there, you know, based on the statements that came back in. Mm-hmm. How many people were injured due to altercations with weapons as a result of those protests that were going on? Did that start as a peaceful protest? Absolutely. Were there people that infiltrated who had an ulterior agenda? Right? Yes, they did. But at the end of the day, if you're a police officer that's there, you don't know the difference between the two. And the police officers didn't show up with weapons assaulting crowd members. They showed up with defensive weapons. And there is a point that I think a lot of people would probably agree with the gentleman on that commented. And that's that, you know, he said, I think they were pointing assault weapons at the crowd. There were sniper teams that were out there that were absolutely pointing rifles with scopes and from elevated positions down the crowd. And that's for a reason. And it's not for what people think. When you've got a densely populated crowd and you've had several people who had been shot during those protests, you can Google that yourself and find out that that had taken place around that. There was Molotov cocktails being thrown at police and other things and bricks and other violence. You can't use a handgun in a crowd of 200 densely populated people. If somebody had brandished a weapon at that point and needed to be identified in the crowd, the only way that anybody could have to take any sort of action is with a rifle, because it's the only way you could do any sort of accuracy. Mm-hmm. You need to do that from a distance and use a scope in order to identify people in the crowd. So while they were using that to scan through the crowd, I would ask, did a police officer, any of them, discharge a weapon at any one of those protesters that was there? The answer is absolutely not. Do I think the police officers need tanks and do they need, you know, grenades and other things? No, of course not. No, they're not the military. And that's not something they show up with in everyday situation. But if, you know, you look at what happened up in Boston, other places, you know, they showed up with the MRAPs as well that they had. Nobody was complaining when the local police department, municipalities around Boston, when the Boston bombers were killing an MIT police officer and throwing bombs out the window, when people showed up with all those armored vehicles. Mm. Because it's a matter of convenience. Well, no problem. Let them have it. That it makes sense why they would need it. It's not just the big cities anymore. Like, there's stuff that can happen. Now, if police are using those for offensive reasons, absolutely, I agree with that viewer. There is no reason that a police officer should have that kind of armament for offensive purposes against unarmed people. That is absolutely absurd. So I'm in complete agreement there. I think there's just sort of a disagreement as to whether or not they should have some of these weapons and use certain tactics. I think they also raised Boston police going from house to house searching without permission.
Oh, you have the comment? I was looking for the comment. I was looking for the comment for you.
Looking for the Boston bombers. And no, I agree with you. Illegal search and seizure and entering places without a warrant. If you're in hot pursuit of a suspect and there's a, you know, prospect there within a couple of houses nearby and there's a threat to the general populace, I think anybody can make a logical argument. Do I think you should have free reign to search an entire city? No, absolutely not. So I do agree with the viewer listener on that point.
Would you be able to read be able to read their entire comment? Because I know I had sent it to you because I wanted you to be able to address it.
I can't see it on my phone at the same time I'm talking.
Oh,
but
shit.
I think that sort of hit all the points that are there.
I tried. Okay.
And I think it was also a question about whether or not or a point made about police officers. I forget which victim they were talking about where somebody was shot. And I don't remember whether it was one of the questionable situations or whether a police officer had genuinely shot and killed an unarmed, innocent individual. I will never in a million years defend a law enforcement officer who illegally discharges a weapon and kills or injures a civilian. It's absurd. I'm an American. I don't believe in that. I never will. You know, but if somebody brandishes a weapon or somebody engages in behavior that under the law can instigate justifiable response from the police where somebody ends up dying. Like, I'm sorry, I get pulled over, I'm in a bad situation, I'm not going to pull a knife or a gun or whatever else or have one. And I don't think anybody else should too. But at no time would I ever, ever support or try to justify the actions of a police officer or something like that. So I'm not some police apologist in that sense. And I apologize if that's the way it came off, because I think viewer sounded rather upset when I read the comments, and that was not the case or my intent.
Yeah, I think the viewer said something like they thought you were, because you were from the, you worked within government, that you were indoctrinated to defend government. And you've always been very, very fair, because so I wanted you to have a chance to respond.
I'm not perfect, but.
So, but I would love to, I have to read the comments so that people can have a little bit more of a reference.
Yeah.
So, but I'll get that at some other time. Well, thank you so much for the call, Alex.
I think that would be fair.
When are you going to come by for a drink then?
Sooner than later. I think the whole country needs a drink at this point.
Yes, no. I feel like somebody bled the radiator.
At least we got weed. California, Florida, and Massachusetts.
It's getting closer, man. The whole country is getting greener.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
The country is definitely getting greener.
Alex, I got a question.
I had a 20-month relationship. And it's finally time to drink because I'm single again.
Well,
there you go, Alex. I got a question. What do you think the cannabis industry is looking at with the Trump presidency?
That largely depends, to be honest with you. I know that sounds kind of ridiculous. There really is a split within the Republican Party, and really between the Libertarians and the Conservatives, as to the removal of the schedule classification of marijuana as a Schedule One, you know, narcotic.
Yes.
Christie, not a big fan. Giuliani, not a big fan. Both of them are being looked at for attorney general.
Right.
But there are a lot of libertarians and, you know, and small government Republicans, you know, kind of want that decriminalized. And I mean, I personally support it for a whole host of reasons. If nothing else, I mean, I was talking about those comments earlier with Hillary Clinton and the reason why she lost a lot of support from the African-American community, at least according to some of the analysts that I had heard. For the criminal laws that were passed, I think some of the drug laws that are passed have disproportionately affected minority communities.
Absolutely.
If you look at a lot of the statistics, a number of African American and other minority males have been arrested and sentenced to absurd jail sentences for selling drugs, while the kids in the suburbs who buy them largely get away with it, and there's no repercussions for them.
I know. That's why I'm personally
good for the goose is good for the gander. I think it's been really bad for the country. I think it's been really bad for a lot of our minority communities who have unfairly suffered as a result of those drug lords. And, you're never going to convince me that heroin and marijuana belong in the same category. It's just not realistic.
I agree. That's why I'm a little
hopefully
scared.
Some of the drug violence and some of the other stuff that's going on as well.
Gypsy, what were you saying?
I was just going to say that's why I'm a little nervous of having Giuliani as the AG. He's going to bring back the 90s with the Rockefeller laws and how he cleaned up 42nd Street and say, "Hey, look what I did." So that's why.
Well, don't forget that was supported at the time by public policy and public polling. It's a new era. This is an administration that will have to get reelected if they want to stay in power, and. You know, I don't know to what extent they will take a look at trends in public polling, but it certainly appears obvious that the trend in the polling across the country is that people are not supportive of these drug laws anymore. Certainly not when it applies to marijuana. So, I guess time will tell. But I've got a similar concern in that regard based on the track history of both Christie and Giuliani. Should either one of them be nominated as Attorney General?
Yeah. Okay.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you so much for the call again, Alex, and we'll talk to you soon. And relax for the rest of the week. You know what I mean?
You got it. Tomorrow's Veterans Day. I'm speaking at Sandy Hook Elementary School tomorrow. So
fantastic.
A bit of a somber experience their first year in the new school. Great kids. So I'm looking forward to the opportunity to do that tomorrow morning.
Dude, thank you for your service.
Thank you for paying for it. Your tax dollars at work.
All right. Take care. There you go. Alex Plutus, he always gives it to you straight. Oh, man. All right, so let me take a little bit of time to thank all the people who I call my bosses. As you all know, that this show used to be a once a week for a half hour show, and then it quickly turned into a once a week for an hour show. And then it turned into a four nights a week, Monday through Thursday, because it just felt too good, and you can't do all the night's stuff on all the week's stuff on one night. And then, of course, the OCD kicked in, and he said, I can't do Monday through Thursday, not Friday. So I start coming in here alone on Friday nights to do it, too, to round out the week. And here we are. And where do I want to do this in the future? Well, obviously, there's enough time. There's enough talking points to go on for much more than an hour. So maybe one day it's a 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. show. Who knows? But other than that, it's always live. It's always interactive. And it's always getting updated and looking for new cool places to take the conversation. And maybe new cool places to take the show in general. I would love for this to be funded one day by the viewers to a point where we can start traveling a little bit every once in a while. Maybe once a year we take a week off, the whole damn crew, and we go to Europe, and we go to a certain place along the Allied advance, something like that. See an ancient city somewhere and then do a podcast afterwards. That'd be awesome. But, you know, right now the way that we can take little bites out of the expansion that we want of the show is become a patron on Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/quitefrankly, patreon.com/quitefrankly, all one word, you can check out all the free market solutions out there to be a contributor of the show and a supporter of the show's future, especially the 1776 and 1984 clubs. For 1776 a month, we become pen pals, and we also get to go on like Google Hangout once a month with the big group of people. We get the hangout going so that we get to talk about things and ideas whenever you guys pretty much get to be producers. And then you have, what was it? And of course, the nightly shout outs, which is what we have to do right now. And 1984 Club is pretty much the same exact thing, only Matt is going to write you a letter from time to time. It'll probably be perverse and maybe in half assed Latin as well. You just said you knew Latin yesterday. That's why you were able to translate.
I didn't know that other one they sent to you. You might get something illegal, too.
You might get an illegal piece of contraband or something. So the 1984, and it's just a dollar more because it's just another significant year. So go to patreon.com/quitefrankly. And now to announce my bosses, spend a little bit of time loving them down. Max Ancaparato from Colorado. The Natural Law in the chat room. Perry Little, Mr. Perry Little and his good wife Stacy from the Mohegan Sun region of Connecticut. Christian Peppers of the Amatory Murder. Got to play You and I since Trump won. I told them their new single was going to be the victory song for Trump. Sean Collins, I'm sure he's lounging at home having a rum cocktail of some sort. We're going to find out what his official cocktail is soon, though. Matt Smith from West Virginia. The coal miners got their future back.
Yep, everyone did.
Then you got Andrew Dame, Nikki Solis. Andrew Great Dame, I should say. Okay, Andrew Great Dame. Nikki Solis. Laura Veris. Jackie Milam, a great writer from Manassas, Virginia. Rudy Escarcega, he's now an old friend. He was new a few weeks ago. Eric Reitz, another person. Eric Reitz is a very, very interesting individual. I don't know who they are. It's obviously, I think it's a moniker or something like that. But I don't know who they are, and they've never identified themselves in the chat room. So hello, Eric. I know you're out there somewhere. Matt DeFabio, the founder of the 1984 Club. There he is. Chopin is on again. They put this on. This is one of those songs that is always, you know, you could be used two ways. It could be used in the creepiest of ways. Like you know, they play a song like this in that movie Copycat when Sigourney Weaver is looking through all the gruesome murder photos and trying to find the pattern in all the killer's movement. If you haven't seen Copycat, watch it this weekend. It's awesome. Jay, you ever see Copycat?
No.
Dude, awesome film. We should watch that again. It's been years for me. I think I might have watched that the last time, 10 years ago at least. But good girl, bad girl, Jenny Lee. and Brad Meyer, another 1984 co-founder. Kate McCallum, Blueberry Place. Gadget Doc, good man and resource in the chat room. And Marianne Hart. Also, a big thank you to my good friend Rob Corrado as well, who became the newest supporter of this show today. That Rob is going to be on the show sometime soon. We got to talk about things, about current events in a little bit more of a science fiction sense, as we put it today. So that'll be good. And
I'm talking aliens, Frank. Is that what you're trying to say?
It's not so much aliens as it is what is going on, interpreting things that are going on around us right now in maybe a multi-dimensional sense. You know, what could be impacting the current position right now? What otherworldly paranormal events could be going on around us that is influencing this plane of existence? You know? Gotta search for something other than how humans are just stupid, dude. You know, I know that we're stupid, but there's other things going on here. I mean, look at how religious people get and how it's weird. Like, this whole spirit cooking shit.
If you looked at like ancient civilization, they were based upon all like stellar activity, you know?
Yeah, stellar and yes, definitely.
All the stars and shit like that.
Constellations, right? Yeah. Down to how they configured their cities. Yeah. and their monuments, their pyramids or ziggurats, whatever it was on the east or the western hemispheres. They all mysteriously lined up. They all were getting the same kind of concepts. They all had references to people from the great beyond coming down to plant seeds somewhere or give them instruction on how to do something. You know, it's...
To understand the stars is to understand us.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Absolutely. So that's the end of our things here. Let's take a really quick call from Gadget Doc. Gadget Doc, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. Tomorrow's my birthday. Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, bro.
Very quickly.
Yes.
So Justin Trudeau, our favorite Canadian.
Oh, the ballerina.
Yes, our favorite Canadian's already said that he is open to renegotiating NAFTA or the trade deals with the United States of America.
Because everyone's fucking scared of Premier Trump. Okay, he's starting to laugh. I see him.
Oh my God!
You can't
God.
Hold a straight face that much
him.
Every time.
You got Gadget Doc to laugh that time. That's good. You know what? I think everybody knows. It's time. Somebody said today. Said, you know what? I was saying this, Gadget Doc. You let me know what you think, and everybody let me know what you think. But I think the next 4 years, if I can have any hope for the next 4 years, is just that people are fed a steady diet of things to be proud of, the reason why to love this country.
Yes,
again.
Absolutely.
All I want is something positive and not something that is like self-flagellating and you know, putting all this self-inflicted guilt and opening up old wounds to be nitpicky political little hacks. I just want to see love, healthy love of country again, because I think every country should have a healthy love for itself, because if everybody wants to be the best, we got a world full of competing people that's healthy competition. We need that. What we've been doing lately is trying to melt everybody into a miserable soup.
I'll tell you what.
You'll hear that soup. Out of Washington. Oh, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No, what'd you say? What was your initial thing you said?
Oh, I said you'll hear that out of Washington, but out of the mainstream. Stream media.
Fuck, they're gone. It's over for them. It's over for them. We are the media now. People know how to gather information. Everything is done in front of cameras. Everything is accessible through the internet. As long as the internet is on and the internet is free, and people know how to use computers, information is ours now to disseminate and to debate. We're not taking our marching orders anymore. I know some people have already swallowed that pill. We got to try to find a way to walk them back from the ledge. But other than that, we don't need the mainstream media anymore. I don't care about them.
Hey, Frank, going back to what you were saying about being proud, yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. This is the proudest I've felt to be an American since I was, like, deployed in the military. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's fine. Like,
because it almost felt like we didn't have this last gasp left.
Yeah,
but we showed up again.
We showed up. somehow we pulled through. I didn't think we were going to pull through, and people pulled through. And like, there still is a love for America. You know, it's not none of this racist, biggest bigot bullshit that they say. That's all made up bullshit. That's not what he's here for. Dude, what billionaire would come off of his couch to take the harassment and go through the obstacles and persevere through the shit that that dude just did?
Well, Hillary Clinton, the only reason why is because she can make more money through it.
Yeah.
She became a billionaire.
He doesn't need
this.
To make any money. Yeah. He spent money. He lost money. I mean, it's fucking ridiculous. If you can't see past that right there.
Destroyed his brand, basically.
He did.
It'll rebound. It'll pick up again.
Mm. You know why it's going to pick up? Because he's going to do some good shit, right? He's going to make you proud. He is. Because that dude will not allow himself to not. He's an egomaniacal dude.
He's
you know,
not
one of his, not a lot of people know this. You know who one of his huge counsels in life was almost his whole
George Steinbrenner.
And you know, New York Yankees.
And we're
those dudes sat and masterminded for hours on end through Yankee games.
Rob and I were actually talking today about this because he brought up George Steinbrenner as well. Because Rob was talking about how he mentioned how, you know, Steinbrenner and Trump are very alike in the way that they have done so much for so many people and have never allowed it to be publicized.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I brought up the fact that one of Steinbrenner's famous quotes was, if you've done, I don't think it was his quote, but I think that he had this plaque or this sign on his desk when he was still active and alive and well. And that was, if you do something nice for someone and more than two people know about it, you did it for the wrong reasons.
Right.
And those were the type of men that used to get they used to take a lot of flack because they live boisterous, loud, industrious lives. But
yeah.
My God in hell, it's hard to not dig up people who have been, I don't know.
You know what the biggest thing is for me anyway? Well, and obviously you knew it was never Hillary. But the thing was, and this is why, so many people say, why not? And they don't understand it. But if you were any type of military, I don't see how you could want to vote for her in the sense that as an E1, you are briefed on your security parameters and you know what parameters you have. There's a Navy sailor, you guys probably saw it, took pictures of inside of his nuclear submarine, mm-hmm. lost his cell phone, someone retrieved it, turned it in. That dude's rightfully due in prison mm-hmm. 1 year. You know what I'm saying? You know what you're supposed to do. She, as a military person, put our country at so much risk.
What kind of stuff?
Whether they found her guilty or not is matters not, because that was bullshit. You know what I'm saying? She should be locked up in prison. She should have never even had an opportunity to run.
Now, as a Navy guy, what kind of things do you sign before you go?
Well, I had very low stuff. Your basic stuff. But you get guys who work in with weapons systems, and they handle intel and interior communications and all kinds of stuff. Man, those guys have some high, especially like the combat systems guys.
And Gadgetdoc, you being in intelligence and fields, you must have been like, I mean, what do you?
IS, intelligence systems.
What
guys?
Do you got like iris scans done and everything? You got chips all inside of you?
Well, I mean, when I first got a security clearance, I had a polygraph done. It's compartmentalized, top secret security clearance. So, they're looking at a 10-year scope of your life, and they're digging into everything. You write down every place you've lived and who knew you there, and it's a really invasive process just being investigated. That's just to get an interim clearance. Then, you know, they're constantly keeping an eye on you too. And every year you have an annual reminder at the very least of what your responsibilities are when you're handling secret, top secret, or even confidential information and how you're supposed to store it.
Yeah, so she knew what the hell was going on. Mm. She knew exactly what was going on.
Oh, totally. And it's not only just the lying that we have proof of, but we have destroying of evidence.
You think Obama's going to pardon her, Frank? You think he's going to close, seal the deal with a pardon?
He needs Trump's approval.
No, he doesn't.
As president, I mean,
nope.
I don't think he does.
Nope.
He doesn't. Not until Trump is inaugurated. He doesn't.
I want to see her in jail so bad. I really do. She deserves to be in jail.
It
deserves to be hanged.
I honestly think that she'll probably, get the pass on this.
Yeah, I do too.
Well,
there's a tradition to not go back, right? There's a tradition to not look back during the transition to just move forward.
Barack Obama is going to pardon her, or that long conversation was that he had with Mr. Trump today, or President-elect Trump, I guess I should say, it had to deal with backroom deals concerning Hillary and him getting off.
That's what I told Frank. I said, if they're going to make a deal, it's going to be something like, all right, Obama, look, you'll be pardoned, but Clinton is going down.
Were those the
something
difficult
like
things he was talking about?
I would guess so.
He talked about some good things and some.
I don't know.
It was a tremendous meeting. It just went tremendously.
Well, I think right off the bat, what needs to be happening, everybody has to calm down, because I know that we just have a lot of work to do on the ground. Yeah.
And burning our flags doesn't do shit, idiots. Nothing.
Yeah. Now, all right, guys. Well, that's.
I wanted to address a few things Blitz had said.
We have 1.5 minutes because we have an 8 o'clock show coming in.
I can do it in less than 90 seconds.
Okay, go ahead.
Clinton got the typical Democrat vote, 93% of the black vote. Obama got 98% previously, for obvious reasons. All right, so there wasn't that loss of a turnout. Also, as far as people not complaining about the Massachusetts thing. Yes, there were, but it was mostly people complaining on the internet. You didn't hear a big thing because it was in alt media. We can go into that in greater detail at a later time when you have more time. Okay. Out.
Hey, man, you are the best. Thank you so much for calling in. We're just all cheering. All right, so we're getting off now. Hey, Jay, I hope you can come back more often, man.
Yeah, man. I'm just a busy man.
Yeah. I know you do. I know you are.
My family's in full freaking flight, man. Literally. Literally. My daughter's flying out every weekend.
That's awesome. She's doing great things. Yeah. Very proud of her.
Absolutely.
I consider her a product of the Frank School of
Baseball.
Absolutely. Well.
You are one of her mentors, I'm very proud to say.
Dude, I hope she knows that she can call me for anything. She needs advice. She needs study advice. She needs some good books to read.
Yeah, she needs to be reminded every once in a while who she is, man, what she's been through, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I am somebody who's very, very unbiased. People like to come to me for my brutality.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, so that's it. Everybody, we'll
see
you.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, please come back more often. So, guys, we're going to be on tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and then later on tonight, I think we might go live for about 15 minutes or so at 9 o'clock for Zadals in New York. But I hope you all have a fantastic evening, and I can't wait to get back to work. Patreon.com/ quite frankly, be my boss. Make my dream come true. I'm working for you. Please. Making me feel hot and tingly. All right, guys, that's it for tonight. I have a really hard time saying goodbye.